Well, let's turn together now in God's Word to the New Testament and to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28, page 1007 in our church Bibles. If you pay attention to the announcements, then you may be aware that the sermon for today was meant to be from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, entitled Counterfeit Christians. But due to a number of circumstances within the congregation, I just felt that what people perhaps needed today was not a sermon about counterfeit Christians, but perhaps something a little bit more encouraging. And so I want us to turn to this promise of the Lord Jesus at the end of Matthew's Gospel. So let's read from verse 16, first of all, just to see the context in which this great promise comes. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Well, it's this promise at the end of verse 20 made by the Lord Jesus shortly before he ascended into heaven that I want us to think about together this morning. We all know the help that it is, don't we, to have someone with us in certain circumstances. Some of our children really don't like going out to the garage by themselves after dark, and so they beg and bully one of their sisters into going with them to keep them company. I don't know what they think is going to happen to them in the garage, but they just like having someone else there with them. Perhaps it's a social event, going along to a function of one sort or another. We don't like to go by ourselves. We're nervous about going by ourselves. It's comforting to have someone else with us. Maybe you've a difficult visit to make, some difficult news to break, some difficult conversation that you need to have with someone. And it's helpful, it's comforting to have someone else there with you, as we say, for moral support. It's not that they're going to be involved in any way. It's not that they can do anything or say anything. But just having someone else there with us helps us somehow. We know that we're not alone. Walking through frightening or dangerous territory, the presence of someone else with us gives us reassurance and gives us security. It's a very human thing, isn't it, to need the presence of another person. And so this promise of Jesus' presence, I think, resonates with a deep-seated desire and need within us as human beings. It's a rich and beautiful and wonderful promise. It begins, as you see there, with the word behold. Behold. It's easy to just skim over a word like that in the Bible. But Jesus is saying that for a reason. He is emphasizing what follows. It's a word that means pay attention. Look at this. This is something important. This is something significant. This is something perhaps even a little bit surprising. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What does this promise mean? Well, let's ask two questions about it. It's not hard to understand. There's nothing difficult here this morning by way of interpretation. We're just meditating together on these wonderful words of the Lord Jesus. First of all, let's ask, who is present? Who is present? Jesus says, I am with you. And the words there that are translated, I am, are emphatic. Jesus is drawing attention to the identity of the one who is with his people. I am with you. No one less than I myself am with you. This is something that's meant to make us stop and think and consider. Who is with you? The disciples, when they heard those words, I am with you, they would certainly have heard echoes of the Old Testament. Because that phrase, I am with you, is a recurring phrase in the Old Testament. It's something that is spoken to the people of God over and over again at particularly significant and dramatic moments in their history. And who is it that said these words, I am with you, to the Israelites down through the centuries? Was it one of their great kings? Was it one of their prophets or priests? Well, you know the answer, don't you? It was the Lord God Almighty himself who said again and again, I am with you. And so we find it in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, when Moses is being commissioned to this demanding and frightening task that's going to tax every ounce of strength in him for the rest of his life. He's got to go back to Egypt, the place that he has been fleeing from for 40 years, the place that he fears. He's got to go to the most powerful man in the world, this paranoid king who is terrified of an uprising of the Hebrew slaves. And he's got to go to them and say, in the name of God, let my people go. And he's got to then lead the people of God through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, and all of the ups and downs of that experience for another 40 years before bringing them to the promised land. Who is sufficient for that kind of work? And so God comes to Moses and he says, I am with you. Or think of Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. David Fleming was reflecting on this passage with us just a few weeks ago. The mantle of leadership has fallen now to Joshua. Moses has died, and Joshua is the one now facing the daunting and difficult task of leading the Israelites into the promised land, this land of Canaan that is stuffed full of these evil, depraved, wicked idolaters, these different tribes of Canaanites with their walled cities and their frightening weapons of war. And Joshua has to lead the people in and to overthrow these people. And God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And again, at critical points in Israel's history, God speaks these words of reassurance and comfort through the prophet Isaiah to the Jews, preparing them for the day when they're going to be taken into exile in Babylon. Isaiah 41 verse 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fast forward another 200, nearly 300 years, And God speaks to the Jews who have come back from exile in Babylon, and they've come back to a land that is overrun and overgrown, and their city of Jerusalem, God's holy city, is just a pile of rubble, and the temple is a pile of rubble, and it's their responsibility to rebuild the temple and the city. And they're facing all kinds of setbacks, all kinds of opposition and discouragements from the people and from their circumstances all around them. And in the face of all of this, what does God say to his people through his prophet Haggai? In Haggai 2 verse 4, "Be strong, all you people of the land, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty." I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Over and over and over again, God comes to his people in their weakness and in their need, and he says to them, "I am with you." And that's the background then to Jesus now coming and giving the most difficult task that you could ever imagine to his church. And he's sending his people not into the land of Canaan. He's sending his people into a hostile, sinful world, with a message that flies squarely in the face of everything that the natural man believes, a message that the natural man is going to hate and resent. And he knows, because he's warned them already, that he's sending the church out to be persecuted and to be mocked and to be hated by bitter enemies. He's sending them out like sheep among wolves into a battlefield where the enemies are not flesh and blood, but the invisible spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so isn't it marvelous that at this very moment, in this very context, Jesus speaks those same words of reassurance and encouragement that God spoke in the Old Testament. And so you see the significance of these words. You see the baggage that these words brings with them. All the echoes and connotations and links in the disciples' minds as they hear these words from the lips of the risen Jesus. I am with you. Jesus is not some small little figure of Palestinian history. He's not a heroic martyr whose memory is going to spur his disciples on. No, he is the eternal I Am, the Almighty Lord of Lords. If he wasn't, what good would these words be to the disciples? They would just be empty, meaningless rhetoric. It would be a worthless promise. If Jesus were no more than a man, these words are just empty rhetoric. The kind of line that's famous in so many films when someone's on the point of death and they're reaching out their hand to their loved ones and they take it and they squeeze it with the last drops of strength in their bodies and they promise with their dying breath, "Remember, I'll always be with you." The music soars to a crescendo and they breathe their last, and it's wonderful. Except it's not true. It's nonsense. They won't be with their loved ones. The memory of them, of course, will live on, but they're not going to be with their loved ones in any meaningful sense at all. It's a nice idea that they will be carried with them in their hearts or something like that, but it's not true. It's no use. They're gone. But how different Jesus' words are. Here is a solid promise for us to hold on to, because Jesus is God. He is the great I Am, and he is with his people. And so, in fact, Matthew's gospel begins and ends with the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. That's what his coming into the world meant in Bethlehem, and that's the promise that he sends his church out into the world with at the end of Matthew. And as Christians, that's our great comfort, that we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us. God Himself is with us. No one else will do. Unless God is with us, we can't do anything. Isn't that what Jesus told us? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Unless God is with you, you can't live the Christian life. It's far beyond the strength of any mere human. It's far too demanding. We're not up to it. But Christ promises us exactly what we need. Not just that He will send us strength by a kind of wireless transfer from heaven. Not that He'll provide an angel to minister to us. He promises you that He Himself will be with you. He promises it, of course, particularly in the context here in Matthew 28 of mission. This is the great task of the church. And that's primarily what Jesus is talking about. As we think of going out into the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus, He is promising that He is with us as we do that. And so that's the first way that we should apply it to ourselves. Jesus Christ is with us as we seek to reach out to our community and to our world as a congregation. It's a very intimidating thing to do, isn't it? To share the gospel with someone. It's hard to do. There are so many obstacles in our way. There's the indifference of the people that we're speaking to, the apathy. They just don't care. They're not interested in spiritual things. Or perhaps they're positively hostile. They will get angry with you when you tell them that they are a sinner who needs to be saved, and that you and you alone, or that Jesus and Jesus alone rather, is the solution for their terrible plight. It's frightening, isn't it, summing up the courage to speak about Jesus. Conversation has been going swimmingly with this friend, with this stranger, but suddenly an opportunity arises to say something about the gospel, to say something about Jesus. And suddenly your mouth goes dry, and your hands are sweating, and your heart is thumping, and your breath suddenly becomes very shallow. It's an unpopular, difficult message to share. And we feel so alone, don't we? Isn't that one of our biggest hindrances in sharing the gospel? We feel so isolated. It's just you and that non-Christian. You're not quite sure what they're going to say, how they're going to react, what they're going to think. If Jesus was standing beside you in the flesh, would you hold back from inviting them to the guest service or to Christianity Explored or telling them about the gospel? Of course you wouldn't. But He is with us. Not in the flesh, not so that we can see Him, but no less really and truly He is with you as you share the gospel. That's exactly what He's saying here, what He's promising. I am with you. And He's not with you as a well-meaning but otherwise helpless spectator. He's with you to help you. He's with you to give you the words to say, to give you the strength that you need to say them. And He's watching, and He's listening, and He's giving you grace and strength, using whatever it is that you say for His purposes. I am with you. And He's with us in the trials and the temptations of our life. He's not just with us when we go out and do mission and then leaves us. No, they're not talking to a non-Christian about the gospel, so they don't need me here. No, He's always with us, as we'll see in a moment. He's with us in the trials and the temptations of life. Because there are so many things in our lives that discourage us and frustrate us and disappoint us and get us down. And isn't it such a comfort to know that as we live faithfully for Jesus, He's with us? Not the memory of Him, not the thought of Him or the idea of Him. He Himself is with you. Jesus, the Son of God. Who is present? And then secondly, when is He present? When is He present? And really Jesus says here the same thing in three different ways. First of all, notice that He doesn't say, I will be with you. He says, I am with you. That's a slightly unusual way of speaking. But He's saying it like this deliberately. For one thing, He's echoing, as we've seen, the name of God in the Old Testament. Yahweh, I am who I am. I am is with you. But He's also emphasizing the immediate presence and the constant presence of God. I am. Not I will be, but I am constantly present. It's like what Jesus said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. It's what the psalmist means in Psalm 46 when he talks about God as a very present help in times of trouble. How can you be a very present help? Well, either you're present or you're not, but that's the kind of thing that's being emphasized here, a very present help. I am with you. I am constantly, relentlessly present with you. You don't ever have to wait for Jesus to get to you. There's no time delay. He doesn't have to transport Himself down from heaven to be at your side. He is always with us. I am with you. It's not that we're in trouble and we call out and He gets to us as soon as He's able. It's not like dialing 999 where you have to wait, even if it's only for a few minutes, for help to come. No, Jesus is always present. I am with you. Always. And then Jesus says, I am with you always. And that translation, always, is a little bit weak. It's an unusual phrase that Jesus uses here. It's the only time that it's used in the whole of the New Testament. And literally what it means is, I am with you all the days. All the days. Or each and every day. Or the whole of every day. It's more than just always. Although it's true that Jesus is always with us. But He's drawing attention here, I think, to the variety of the days of our lives. In all the ups and downs of all the days, every single one of the individual days of our individual lives, Jesus says, I am with you. I am with you, He says, in the particular mix of experiences and circumstances that make up each and every day of each and every one of His people. At school and in the workplace, when you're disciplining your children, when you're on holiday, when you're in the middle of a confrontation, no matter what you're doing on any given day, Jesus is with you. I think by using this phrase, all the days, we're meant to think here of all the days of our lives, one by one. Not just the quantity of them, but the quality of each individual day. Jesus is promising you that He's with you in the good days and in the bad days. He's with you in the happy days, and He's with you on the sad days. He's with you in days of sickness, and He's with you in days of health. He's with you in days of need, and He's with you in the days of plenty. He's with you on Mondays as well as on Sabbaths. He's with you today, and He's with you tomorrow. He's with you on the worst day in your whole life. He's with you in your days of failure and your days of disappointment. He's with you in the days of fear and anxiety and stress. He's with you in those days of pain. He's with you on the particularly bad days of pain. He's with you in your days of joy and happiness. It's not that He only comes and blesses you with His presence when things are tough. He's with you when things are going well as well. He's with you on those tedious days. And He's with you on exciting days. He's with you on days of funerals and days of weddings. He's with you, young people, on the days when you're revising for your exams and preparing for exams. And He's with you on the day of each of your individual exams as well. He's with you in those dark days of depression. He's with you on the day of that meeting that you're dreading. He's with you on the day that you get that piece of life-changing news. He's with you on that day that you can hardly drag yourself out of bed because you're so discouraged and so fearful. He's with you on the day of your death. He's with you at the moment of your death. He's with you the moment after your death. He's with you forever. Each day, with its particular mix of trials and challenges, and all the particular people that each one of us comes into contact with, Jesus says to you and to me, I am with you all the days. No matter what kind of day you're having, any day of your life, you can say, I know that Jesus Christ is with me right now at this moment because He said that He is. He's promised that He is. This day that I've dreaded for weeks, for months, for years, this day has finally come. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He's with me on this day. You ever feel isolated and abandoned? You ever feel lonely? Do you ever think to yourself, nobody understands my circumstances. There is no one in my life who knows what I'm going through and who cares about it. Well, Jesus is with you. Maybe nobody else does, but Jesus is with you. And He understands perfectly, and He cares. I am with you all the days until the end of the age. There's the third way that Jesus puts it. Until the end of the age. And again, literally, it means until the consummation of the age. The great wrapping up, as it were, at the end of time when good finally triumphs over evil. Jesus is saying to the very end of human history, I am with you. There will never be a time in all of the history of the human race when Jesus is not with His people. So this promise is obviously not just for these 11 disciples. It's not just for the early church. It's not just for the David Livingstones amongst God's people. It's for the whole church in every age. It's for you today. If you're a Christian, this promise is for you. Jesus says to you today, I am with you. You think of your life, your struggles, your circumstances, your joys, and your sorrows. Jesus says, I am with you. This promise is not just for the church in times of revival. It's not just for the Reformation times. It's for us today here in Trinity. Has the consummation of the ages come yet? No. So Jesus Christ is still with us. And this phrase, until the consummation of the age, means, doesn't it, that the Lord isn't going to abandon us at the greatest moment of crisis in all of history either. He's going to be with us then too, at the consummation of the age, on the day of judgment itself. Jesus Christ will be with his people and see us safely through. And so if he will be with us then we can be sure that he's going to be with us all during all the lesser crises up to that day. If he's with us on the day when the heavens are rolled up like a scroll and the books are opened and the sheep are separated from the goats, then he's certainly going to be with you when you're doing your GCSEs and your A-levels, and when you're sick and in bed or in hospital, and in all of our lesser times of need. So here, friends, is God's word to each one of us this week. Behold. Look at it. Think about it. Pay attention to this. Don't miss this. Behold. I am with you all the days to the end of the age. It doesn't always feel like it, but we have to believe it. That's what living by faith means. It means believing God's promises. It means believing every word that comes from the mouth of God, whether it feels like it or not. It's true. Matthew Henry said, God may at times be in the dark, but he is never at a distance. And I can say that to you without needing to know all the details of your personal circumstances today. No matter what's going on in your life, you're not alone if you're a Christian, because Jesus Christ is with you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this gracious promise from the lips of your Son, that he is with us all the days to the consummation of the age. And Lord, we pray that you will increase our faith to believe this promise, to claim this promise, and to hold on to this promise all the days of our lives. We pray, Father, for any who are not yet Christians, who don't yet trust in you, and so who do not have this wonderful comfort and reassurance in life. And we pray that this day would be the day that they come to know your presence with them, both now and forevermore. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.